Welcome to this week's Mentor Moment. This week, your mentor is Nick Keegan, the CEO of MailMetrics. Today, he teaches us how to use venture debt and strategic acquisitions to create a thriving market position. Here's your mentor, Nick.
If you've been listening for a while, you know Iconic Offices have been my partner for ages now. Working and recording out of their flexible workspaces has meant a huge deal to the success of this podcast. So it made perfect sense to partner up with them again for season 17, but to give you, my fellow entrepreneurs, a unique offer. Come work in the Iconic Office workspaces for free with no catches. Simply visit the link in the description below and enter Gary24 for a free day pass or a free day office pass. Enjoy.
Are you an early stage founder solving problems in the food supply chain? The Green Man Group sees the value in your work and has launched the Growing Further Awards to back your vision. These awards are designed to promote startups that are driving sustainability and innovation in key areas of the food supply chain, including production, distribution and retail, built environment, and customer engagement. Enter at growingfurther.io for a shot at a share of the €100,000 cash prize and the chance to pitch your company to a crowd of industry leaders. Don't miss out. The deadline for entries is October 4th, with final judging and the awards set for January 2025. Learn more and apply at growingfurther.io.
The scary bit was probably when you have the loan document. So we bought these companies, we used some leverage to buy the businesses. And you're going to sign this loan document. And because we were relatively, I suppose we were a risky enough bet because we were a relatively young business. We were sort of a recurring revenue SaaS company, didn't have a huge amount of profits necessarily.
Were you sizable at this stage? Had you grown a lot at this stage?
We'd got product market fit, but we weren't a big business, you know. We'd good customers, recurring revenue, we'd never lost a customer, all of that stuff. We had a lot of good positives going for us, but it definitely wasn't a banking case that a Pillar Bank would have looked at. So we took on what's known as alternative debt.
It's a very nice name for it.
Yeah, or venture debt, depending on who you ask. Very high interest debt. So it cost us about effectively 20% margin on the money. Now, don't get me wrong, right? It was extremely high interest, and that's what made me a little bit nervous signing up. But we'd done all the models. We didn't just do this on a whim. We'd analysed it. And we couldn't have done these transactions without that money. And so, although it was high debt, they were getting paid for the risk profile, and they backed us when nobody else backed us. So I had a good experience with it all. We refinanced out within, I think, a day of it going into the next year, and if it went to the next year, rates go up again or something like that, you know. So we refinanced out with Bank of Ireland then, just regular bank debt. But we had to. You're effectively putting it all on the line because they own everything and that they get their money back, you know. But that was fair enough. We went into that with our eyes open, and we knew exactly what we were going for, and worked out well for us.
That was a do or die situation, right? This is all or nothing here.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't have liked. It worked out well, but I'd say if it didn't go, if the acquisitions, the integration or whatever didn't go as planned, or if we had lost a load of customers after acquisition, and
anything can happen, especially in COVID, though. You know, you're telling this very calmly now, yeah. But that was the middle of COVID. We didn't know what was happening. We thought the sky was falling.
Our business model is very resilient because we have these big financial services customers. It's not discretionary. They have a regulatory obligation to communicate with their customers. So when we're buying these companies, you're looking back, and there's generally no growth in these businesses that we're buying. And we, by introducing our technology, we grow. We grow the sales. But we can see consistency, and it's you can get fairly comfortable with it, you know what I mean?
There's a lot of lessons here. There's a lot of lessons in picking your market. There's a lot of lessons in picking your customers. Yeah, looking at what.
Bit of luck though as well. I didn't sit down
definitely,
on a whiteboard.
No, but you've been very clever as to how once you did get fit, you got to great. What I'm trying to think of is, and what I'm trying to explain is that you got to the
core the issue very fast here. You understood what the benefits were of, because people think of traditional companies like these going slow, you know, old, you know, whereas you turned that into a strength. You were like, legacy, they've got tradition, you know, there's no growth, but they ain't going anywhere.
Absolutely.
And then you were able to use that certainty to take a pretty big risk that you de-risked by knowing the industry and knowing banks are going to bank. They need this. Yeah. And legally, they have to do this.
Yeah, and in fact, because of regulation, the amount of communications they're sending is only going up. You need to give more information, make sure the consumer is more protected, make sure they're you know, aware of the financial product that they're purchasing. That all plays into our favour, you know. So communications generally go up as opposed to down.
So did you even get to see the business in the UK before you bought it?
Like, it was right at the final, right at the very end, we were able to go and visit it. But the initial conversation, it was all done over Zoom or Teams or whatever it was at the time.
Is it weird? You just turn up and you're like, hi guys, I'm your new dad.
Yeah, like, for the acquired company, it can be scary, understandably. Like, who's your man? Who are these guys coming in? What are they going to do? What's their intention? Are we all going to lose our jobs? But on the contrary, like, we generally buy these businesses and, you know, they start growing again. And not that, listen, not saying that none of them have growth, but it's not known to be a really fast growth part of, like, the industry, right? But we come in with a technology product and we're essentially transforming these businesses and they start to feel good about this, you know. They're getting more business in the pipeline, they're getting more high-value contracts, and, you know, we're converting them from a service business into a technology business. So for them, it's, once they get over that initial fright of we've been acquired, it can generally things go well. No, it's not for everybody, and some people will leave, you know. Like, one of the businesses we bought, we doubled EBITDA next year. The other business, I think the same, doubled revenues and EBITDA next year, like within 12 months or so. And that kind of growth, then, some people don't like it, you know, and they're not made for a fast growth company where things are changing all the time and you need to be able to adjust. And, you know, but we've done it like this for last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, that's not, we've always done it this way. Those toxic words that will kill a business quicker than anything.
So sometimes some people will move on, but generally speaking, like, 99% of the people have stayed lost.
What did it do for you then as a business? Because you've suddenly gone one company, two companies, three companies, all merged into one. What did it do for you?
So what it gave us a pipeline of potential financial service customers. So we would onboard them all onto our software and we say, you're currently printing and mailing letters to your customers as your only communication channel. We'll now onboard you onto our software where you can still print and mail a letter, but you now have all these other digital offerings to give your customers.
Okay.
So you can send a secure email, you can give them a customer portal where they can log in and view a PDF of their document. They can upload their proof of no claims bonus through this portal. SMS notifications, you know, your direct debit bounced, all of these kind of simple but effective things it gives them, and they can then convert away from solely printing letters to.
So this is a massive customer acquisition piece for you.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is we buy these businesses and they don't convert or change overnight. They're still they're still oil tankers and they move fairly slowly, but we have, because they're so sticky, we've now got a backlog of customers who are contracted with us. All this kind of central bank approval and all that stuff is already, we've already gone through all that, so that's all sorted. And whilst they're in our pipeline and we're working on converting them and onboarding them to our software, they're paying us every month. Whereas these same companies were in our pipeline before the acquisition, but we were 3 years talking to them and we were not making any money off them. Whereas now they're our customer and we're having the same conversation, but they're paying us every month.
Man, this is smart strategy.
Yeah.
This is clever stuff. Like, you've really, that was a masterstroke. You've built a moat here a mile wide.
Yeah, yeah. So it was that one thing. Like, we tried loads and loads and loads over the years to, like, you know, get more sales in. You know, what can we do to kind of increase the demand, make them move quicker? And it's like, you know,
you're trying to speed up time when time goes as minute to minute, an hour to an hour.
Yeah, it is what it is. And this was a strategy for us to acquire 30 customers overnight. Whereas if you won two, three, four customers a year, that'd be a knockout, a big, big insurance company, that'd be a knockout year, you know? So
that's a sensational strategy. Mm. So that must have massively bumped the business.
Massively, So you get that revenue from the acquisition, but then you get the uplift as well. So you start to grow these businesses and you start to grow the customer accounts. So I think we were probably 20 people in like 20 people in 2020, and we would have finished 2022 like 110 people. We'll probably do 150 people this year if we go on to plan, you know.
That's explosive.
Yeah, I think even between 2019 and between 2019 and 2020, like more than 20x'd.
Right? How have you got your head around that as a person, as a boss?
Listen, it's a better problem to have than having no customers, you know. So it wasn't too difficult to get your head around sales going through the roof. Like that's a nice problem to have. The problems come on the. So you'll win all the business, you'll get the customers, you'll onboard the customers. The problems come in the back end of trying to change an organization from 20 people where everybody is talking directly to everyone. Like, we didn't even have a concept of functions in the business. Right? Simple things, like this is operations, this is what they're accountable for, this is sales, that's what you're accountable for, finance, customer success. Didn't have any of that because it was such a small team.
Yeah. Right?
We'd all just talk to one another and figure out what needs to be done. And then you get to the point where you've actually now got people in Dublin, people in Northern Ireland, people in Scotland, people in Poland, and you need to start growing up as a company and putting these structures in place. But I'd never worked in a corporate job, so you didn't even have that context. So you're trying to figure all that out. That was the harder part, you know. Like, the sales is great, like, you know, that's a good problem to have, but the actual infrastructure of the company, putting that in place.
Mm.
And then it's changing all the time because, you know, even like we grew in 2022, like we grew 40% again, but even without any acquisitions, you know. And so even without the acquisition, where we were 12 months ago was no longer fit for purpose, you know. So, yeah, but good problems to have. It's better having growing pains than dying pains, let's say.
I think it's the real good insight there, though, that, you know, that experience in the early years, you can clearly see from chatting to you, it's really shaped your journey and it's given you a mindset, a really great mindset of, you know, this is a good problem.
If you enjoyed that, go back and listen to the full episode or click the link in the description below.